Bibles and turn to the Old Testament passage in the book of Psalms, the 27th Psalm, Psalm 27. Last week, somebody made the comment to me, it was really hard to go to lunch after last Sunday's message. They said it was just, it just took away their appetite. Maybe it was the searing of the tongue, cauterizing of the tongue, I'm not sure, and the smells of and the sounds of hell. But when they said that to me, I thought, whoa, people can't go to lunch after I get done preaching. Maybe it's time for a change of pace. And I thought, this week we're going to do a dramatic about-face. We're going to do encouragement, encouragement this morning. And I hope that it'll be a blessing to you. Be encouraged is one of my favorite sayings to people. I'm praying for you, be encouraged. And it should. Today, you talk about discouragement. Today, I believe, as I understand it, is the start of the NFL season. Is that correct? Or maybe it's already started. I don't know. But anyways, you figure a bunch of people that are going to be discouraged by the time the season is over. Because all these teams are playing, and only two teams will go to the Super Bowl, and it won't be your team. And only one team will win, and it won't be your team. And so you talk about a whole bunch of people that are going to be discouraged by a ball game by the time this is all over. It's them. Things just, we live in a world where things, if you're not careful, can discourage you. Why is that? Because things just get out of hand. And things do not go as planned. I remember when David was growing up as a teenager, he had a plan. He had like his life planned out in 15-minute increments. He knew what he was going to do, when he was going to get married, where he was going to go to school, what he was going to do for a job, where he was going to buy his first house by the time he was 22 years of age. And I looked at him and I said, you know, David, sometimes things just don't go the way you plan. So you might want to be prepared for a contingency. He said, oh, no. This is my plan. I'm going to work it. It's going to go. And he has found out now, 10 years later, that sometimes things don't go quite as you plan. They just don't. Jobs are lost. Health failures. Coming into an election cycle, your candidate loses or drops out. Or the people who are candidates make you go, is this the best that we have to offer? School shootings. This week, over in Maryland, there was a bunch of car dealerships that had been broken into, and they caught the guy that did it, 12 years of age. 12 years of age. He went before the judge, and the judge said, I'm going to release you to your parents. Now go home and be on your best behavior. And you guessed it, 24 hours later, he'd broken into another car dealership and stole cars. Reoffended. Listen, believers, it's possible to get discouraged. Why? Because we live in a world that is broken by sorrow, sin, and sinners. So we're in Psalm 27 this morning. This is interesting because this is David. David has been anointed to be king, and we're going to travel through lots of scriptures this morning. We're going to start here because I think this is a stellar passage of scripture. If you have not memorized Psalm 27, you should. Because David has been anointed to be king, but King Saul is still on the throne. King Saul and David was one of his generals. David was successful on the battlefield. David was a valiant warrior. God's blessing was really on him. By his hand, they would sing the song, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000. And you would think as a king that that's the kind of guy you'd like to have in battle. But instead, the king feels threatened. So the king, King Saul, with all the national resources of Israel, is hunting down David to kill him. Not just to ban him from the kingdom, not to fire him from being a general, but he is hunting him down to kill him. Now there's a guy that needs encouragement. And David writes in Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" Certainly not the king. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom? Certainly not a heathen king. Shouldn't have been a heathen king. He should have been a believing king. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, the king, even mine enemies and my foes came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. And they did. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. And they did. We read from the biblical narrative that several times King Saul was chasing him, followed his intelligence to find out the region that he was in. King Saul was sleeping in the cave where David was hiding. The soldiers didn't do a very good job of clearing it. There are many times that David could have taken the life of the king. And people would have said, justified. But he refused to do it. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear, though war should rise against me. In this will I be confident. So King Saul had all of the law enforcement power of the day. The military was at his disposal and were being used to hunt what he considered a political adversary. And notice David's focus in verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, what's he talking about? A lot of family had taken the king's position. What do you do when your family turns against you? When my mother and my father forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses, false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I love verse 13. I had fainted, given up, thrown in the towel, jumped off a bridge. I had fainted if I had not believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Father, I pray that you'd help us to be encouraged this morning and to purpose in our heart that we are going to be encouragers for others. To pick up the phone and send a text to someone, I'm praying for you, be encouraged. Maybe even this morning, I pray that as folks look around the room and say, I wonder where so-and-so is, I haven't seen them, may they just take that as an assignment from their God to reach out to them, to call them, to send them a note, to let them know that they have been missed and that they have been prayed for. pray for Walter this morning, just in so much pain and so much distress, that he would be encouraged to know that his church crowd are praying for him and others as well. And we'll thank you for what you do this morning. It is in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Several challenges this morning. Obviously, David was encouraged, but he wrote Psalm 27 to encourage us. And I want to challenge you this morning to be an encourager. Judges chapter 20, verse 22, and the people, the men of Israel, encouraged themselves in battle. And it is certainly necessary for our military folks to be encouraged. I prayed for a young man. He was, as a teenager, he grew up in his church, 18 years of age. He went off and joined the army. He's stationed in Germany right now, and he's just away from home, away from family, away from his church, and he's just really discouraged. Military folks can get discouraged in battle, and they need to be encouraged. 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, David was greatly distressed when he came home and found that his, while he was out fighting battles, that his home front, his wife, his children, the wives and children of his soldiers had been pilfered, destroyed, burned. And they got back and there was nothing there. And the men spoke, the soldiers, of killing David. David didn't do it. It wasn't his cause. David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David, as he did in Psalm 27, he did in 1 Samuel chapter 30, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. God, God's word, God's faithfulness. King Josiah in 2 Chronicles 35, verse 2, he set the priests in their charges and encouraged them. The king is encouraging the priests. Encourage them in the service of the house of the Lord. And it's important to be encouraged in church. Last Sunday night after the service, I met with the deacons for a time of encouragement. They encouraged me. They encouraged me. I was preparing the message this week. I was sitting down at my computer at this spot. And one of our young men, who his family moved away, he lives in Georgia, Matthew Roman. Matthew, if you're listening this morning, he often does during the 8:30 service, I give you a shout out. And I said to Matthew, you encourage me. And I'm going to put the verse that you sent me while I at this spot, in the message at this spot. This is what Matthew sent me, Matthew Roman. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He has showed me, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. You say, well, that doesn't have anything to do with encouragement. That has everything to do with encouragement, because the young man who sent it had a desire to encourage. And sometimes that's all it takes. Is sending a, and he had no idea what I was working on. But he sent a verse at a time to let me know that, hey, he was praying for me and thinking about me. And then he encouraged me to go to Burger King for lunch. Giving. In 2 Chronicles chapter 31, verse 4, Hezekiah, the king, commanded giving to the priests and the Levites. Why? That they might be encouraged. This week I spoke this past week I spoke of Stephen Doolittle, one of our missionaries, been in Brazil for just a few months shy of 30 years, and in a very remote, difficult, we're talking about a region of Brazil, no running water, no electricity, or little, or limited, if it was. And he's been there for 30 years. He came off the field, and pastors called him up and called him a quitter. He was there for 30 years. And I called him up to encourage him, Your giving, your notes, your prayers greatly encourage others. Wednesday night, here in the auditorium, I read a simple prayer request. Simple prayer request for one of our ladies that was in the room. I don't know what you do when the prayer request, anybody have a prayer request, send your cards to the aisle. Nelson picks them up and brings them up to me, hands them to me, and I read them. I don't know what you do when I'm reading those prayer requests, but you should be listening and thinking, is there somebody in the room that I can encourage? And so during the prayer time, I prayed with Caitlin up front, my daughter, and then after we finished, I went around the room and prayed for certain individuals that had turned in prayer requests. And I stopped and prayed with this one lady. I stopped and prayed with her. And then made my way around the room and made my way to the back. After Brother Monday came up and led us in a closing chorus, and after he said, "You're good, you're dismissed." Wednesday night, everybody's thinking about getting home. But I watched. And I wasn't watching for this, but I was just looking around the room, and I saw one of our ladies get up from their seat and go over to the person whose card I had read, to the lady that I had prayed for. And it's important for the preacher to pray for you. But she went over to her, and she, I don't know what she said, probably, "Hey, I'm praying for you," and reached out and gave her a hug. And I saw that. And I thought, what a great example of encouragement. You don't have to give a lot of wise counsel, but if you can just say, "I'm praying for you," and guys, you give a guy hug, and ladies, you give the ladies a lady hug. But let's not have the guys giving the ladies a hug, and you know what I mean. So a lady went up and encouraged another lady. Guys, you can encourage the guys, and you can encourage a lady by saying, "Hey, I'm praying for you." There's nothing the matter with that, and you should. Tennessee had an event this week. Wilson County Sheriff's Office reported that the pastor of a Bible church, somebody had driven by his house. He was not there. One of his children was inside and sat out front of the house and filled the house with lead. 30 to 40 shell casings the sheriff department collected out by the road. Just poof, poof, poof. Pumping away at the house, 34. They had a Ring doorbell, and after the guy left, within 1 minute, the pastor came home. And child was obviously upset, and how tragic. And as I read the story, I know the guy in more than a casual sense. Now, if I saw him on the street, I might not recognize him. He might not recognize me. But I know him, and I know of him, and I've kind of followed his life since he was in college. But I read the article. I like to read the comments after an article, because it kind of tells you the mindset of what the country's reaction is to the article. Now, what's interesting is that this article was posted on a Christian news site. So it is Christians, pastors, church members that are reading this article in this particular place, and then they're commenting on it. And this is what they said. Now, we think the pastor did that himself. "We think that he should be drawn and quartered," was a quote from that. I'm thinking, what a terrible thing. Now, I'll just say, this preacher is not my most favorite preacher in the whole world. I can tell you that when he got out of Bible college, that he was a pastor of a Baptist church, and I had high hopes for him. He traveled the world and preached. He was a very sought-after speaker. And then he cheated on his wife and married the secretary and left the Baptist church. Now he's pastoring a Bible church. And he loves the dramatic and a flair. He's burning Bibles, and he's doing all kinds of weird stuff. He's intention. I get that. But his house just got torn. He's not my favorite person in the world, but I'm not going to write after an article and say, "I think you did it yourself." And what if he did? Well, that will come out, and then you make those comments. But to pile on when somebody is going through a difficult time, I mean, they just don't need that. They might not be your favorite person in the whole world, but piling on without evidence is just cruel. And I get it. I don't get it. I don't get it that the Sauls of this world, who are the kings of the Christian nation Israel, are hunting down their enemies to kill them. I just don't get that. Saul, the guy who calls him, he would call himself a believer. Not a Christian at the time, because they were first called Christians in Antioch. I can get that. But he was a believer in God. He would have said that, yeah, I'm on my way to heaven. I know Jesus Christ as my Savior. I have that faith of Abraham. He's calling himself a Christian, and he's hunting down to kill his enemy. Who is it? A wonderful Christian. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want kind of Christian. Who responds to your attacks with, I will not touch God's anointed. I'll not do it. God can take you out anytime he wants. But he's not. I'm not going to do it. But David says in Psalm 27, they were piling on. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. When false witnesses rise up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I just want to challenge you to be an encourager. It's easy to be an encourager to your friends. But can you be an encourager to somebody who's maybe not your most favorite person in the whole world? I hope that you can. Because David's psalm, given to us by God in this 27th chapter of Psalms, is meant for you. And is there anybody in the room that would say, I'm David's most favorite person in the world? No, you're probably not David's most favorite person in the world. You're not David's most favorite person in the world. And it's for you. Encourage. Be an encourager and be encouraged. Why? We need courage to face tomorrow, such as the effects of a fallen human race. They affect us. What? Disease, cancer, sorrow, the political environment, the economic environment, the things going on in our school systems. And I'm not just talking about the one in Florida. I'm talking about Fairfax County. There is barely a day that goes by. And it might be a Saturday. It might be a Sunday. But Monday through Friday, 5 days a week, there are four or five events, active, they're called AVIs, active violence incidents in our Fairfax County schools. Say, how do you know that? I read the police blotter. Every single day, five incidents of threats, guns, weapons, violence, shootings in our schools here in our county. And just a lot to be discouraged about. 20 times, God admonishes children individually and collectively to be strong and of a good courage. We'll go through them, some of them, not all of them, quickly. Deuteronomy 31:6, he said, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, neither nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. To the public, in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 7, Moses called on in public to call unto Joshua and said to Joshua, in the presence of the public, he said to Joshua and unto all of them that were in his sight. So he's saying to the leader and to the people, Israel, be strong and of good courage. For thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them. And thou shalt cause them to inherit it. Even though sometimes they didn't want to do it. David encouraged them to take possession of God's promises. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 23, and he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge and said, be strong and of a good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. Promised success God gave to Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, verse 6, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide an inheritance in the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. And God gave him that promise before they had a single military victory. And sometimes it's easy to say, to look in the past and say, well, yeah, we've had Jericho, and well, yeah, AI, we had some problems, but we finally got out of there. I got kind of bogged down. But it's easy to look back and say, man, look at all these things God has given to us. But it's hard before God has given it to you to look forward and say, I believe that God is going to be faithful to help me. But God's word is here to tell us and remind us that God has been faithful in the past, and God will be equally faithful in the future. He is no respecter of persons. He has protected people. He protected David in the past. And he absolutely can protect you today. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Anywhere you go. What if I get reassigned? He goes with you. What if I get deployed? He goes with you. What if I get redeployed? God goes with you. It's a good reminder that when you're facing strongholds, when you're facing arrogance, Joshua chapter 2:11. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Who is that uttered by? That was uttered by Rahab the harlot when she entertained the two spies in her home. She said, you could have done this 40 years ago. Because 40 years ago, before God had given you a military victory, and you spent 12 men into the 12 spies into the land, and 10 came back with an evil report, 2 came back with a good report, when the majority said, God can't do it, Joshua was one of the two that said, yes, we can. And Rahab documented that 40 years previously, when they first came into the land, that Jericho was frightened out of their mind. They could have absolutely had the victory 40 years before, but they waited because of unbelief. To the leaders, to the people, Joshua chapter 10. Joshua is now the leader. And in the 10th chapter, after Jericho, they had some hard times, the defeat at Ai. Now Joshua is coming before the people, and he is saying unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed, be strong and of a good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight. So Israel had victory in Jericho. Eventually, they had a victory at Ai, and so they're progressing along life's way. But even though you've had victory in the past, discouragement is a very real possibility for the present. And we just need people to say we need to be encouraged. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. David, I had fainted if I had not believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And so the preacher goes to the hospital and he says, hey, I am confident that he which hath begun a good work in you will continue to perform that until the day of Jesus Christ. To send a text that says, hey, I'm praying for you. This is going to pass. Be encouraged. To get a letter from somebody that says, hey, I'm praying for you. On the way out of church this morning to say to somebody, I'm praying for you. Because along the life way, even though we've had great victory, there's also the possibility of great discouragement. 1 Chronicles chapter 19, verse 13 says, be strong and of good courage. Let us behave ourselves valiantly for our people and for the cities of our God, and the Lord do that which is good in his sight. It is good for fathers to sons. In 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 20, and David said to Solomon, his son, David, Psalm 27, a man who had been hunted by the government, but trusted in the Lord, had an opportunity to say to his son, Solomon, be strong and of a good courage, and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee, because he's your God. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. And so we've got a father who has been through the battles of life. And David, absolutely, Solomon is not going to see one fraction of what David saw. But David, through great defeat, through great misery, was sustained by God and able to say to his son, God is on the throne. Get to work. Get to work. The world celebrated a birthday this week. Have you been following? Willow celebrated his first birthday. It was all over the news. Anybody see Willow and his birthday? Nobody? Oh, man, we're gonna tell you something. Willow had a birthday. Willow lives in Tacoma, Washington. Still doesn't ring a bell. Willow lives in Tacoma, Washington, celebrated his first birthday. It was all over the news. Willow weighed in at 350 pounds. Now I've got Lenore's attention. How does a one-year-old weigh in at 350 pounds? Well, it's at the Point Defiance Zoo and Aquarium, and Willow is a muskox. And the world celebrates. I'm like, really? I just say this because Willow, I mean, it's something Caitlin would get involved in, right? What's that hippo's name at the Cincinnati Zoo? Fiona, yeah, Fiona the hippo. Caitlin follows it and sends out birthday greetings to a hippopotamus. It just amazes me what the world celebrates. Listen, if the world can celebrate the one-year birthday of a muskox that weighs 350 pounds, certainly we can find, as Christians, something to celebrate in the salvation of God and the sustaining of his people. We have eternal salvation. Can we not find something to celebrate? David did. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? But Christians, we've got our eyes off the Lord. Say, preacher, how do you know that? Because when I go make hospital visits or people come talk to me, they say things and my reply back to them is, where did you get that? You did not get that from this book. Why are you studying that? That is not in this book. Preacher, when are you going to preach on? I am never going to preach on that. It is not in this book. But everybody else is doing it. I don't care what everybody else is doing it. It's not in the book. Stop watching the videos. Get the letter out, get the book out, and read it for yourself. We have a lot to celebrate. And God put it right here. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Light. And so I say to the person, what do I do? What do I do? God's word will be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Turn off those bozos on the internet and get your Bible out and let God's word be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. God will illuminate your way ahead. He will. Be encouraged and be hopeful. What do you do when God's promises seem to be out of reach, when pain and despair set in? Well, David is greatly distressed, and he gives us that. I hope you've highlighted verse 14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 31, verse 24. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. To the membership. Isaiah speaking of the membership, God's people, in the 41st chapter, the 6th verse, they helped every one his neighbor. And everyone said to his brother, be of good courage. See, that's what I want. I want to stand at the door and hear church people say to others, I'm praying for you, be encouraged. When somebody says, I've got cancer, you say, be of good courage. God is still on the throne. God will help you. God's word will be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Follow God. I want to hear that. Isaiah encouraged the people and announced and reported that he heard everybody saying that. They helped everyone, his neighbor, and everyone said to his brother, be of good courage. It is so important to be the voice of encouragement. Not just for the preacher to do it, not just for the deacons to do it, but for that lady who got up out of her seat and went over to another lady and probably said, I'm praying for you, and gave her an embrace. That encouraged me to see it. And that is more powerful than the preacher saying a prayer. The prayer and encouragement and the challenge of other Christians, Christian to Christian, believer to believer, neighbor to neighbor, saying it's going to be okay. God is on the throne. Paul said to the church at Philippi, and I love this verse, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will continue to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. To the discouraged, to the downtrodden, I am confident that he, God, which hath begun a good work in you, is going to keep on doing it until he comes back. And he is coming back. I like this. And I give this verse out, 1 Thessalonians. I've done this recently in church. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. God's coming back. He's going to set it all right. We're going to be looking at this world in the rearview mirror. Five times to the church at Thessalonica, Paul admonished them to comfort one another. Paul was doing it. He was writing the two letters. But he, beyond that, Paul said to them as a group, as a church body, comfort one another. Encourage one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, but comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient towards all men. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 17. Comfort your heart and establish you in every good word and work. So Thursday night, I went and taught my class. We're in the major prophets. We're in Isaiah. And I got back to the church here, I don't know, about 11:15 from that. And I had some office things to do. And Mrs. Bishop called me. So I'm talking to her, and I'm working on the church bulletin, which is probably why there are often mistakes in there, because I'm multitasking. I'm going, She said, what are you doing after this? I said, I'm going home, and I was. And finished with phone call, and Eden had shut off the printer, so I had to go downstairs several times to figure out why my stuff wasn't printing downstairs. So I got some extra steps in, and finally got that all done, and Miss Bishop hung up, got the computer shut down, and went home, and said, you know, what do you do at night when you've been up all day? It's now about 1 o'clock in the morning, and you've taught a class in the evening, and your wife is away. I'm going to go hike Old Rag. So I pulled up the weather forecast. It's clear, and I love hiking at night up in the mountain because you can see the stars. And I am a Michigan guy. I miss the stars. I just do. And so I got in the car at 1 o'clock in the morning. I packed my backpack. I had my headlamp on because it's dark, so you might want to have some light to see where you're going, right? And so I drive the 2 hours out there. 3 o'clock in the morning, when you were sleeping, I started my ascent up the mountain. So I get up to the mountain. I said, what could possibly go wrong in the middle of the night, hiking in the dark, an old man? Nothing could possibly go wrong, right? And so I got up there to the spots, and it was probably 4 o'clock in the morning, so some high spots and where there's some clearing, and sat down and watched the satellites go by. Way, way up there, little dots moving across the sky from south to north. Watched the shooting stars. And I thought, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. There is no speech or language where his voice is not heard. And then there was one big light coming across the sky, going from west to east. And I said, Well, that can't be a satellite. And it was low. It's got to be a plane, but it didn't have lights on it. And so I had to come back home and said, is there such a thing as a low-level satellite that flies from the equator? And sure enough, there are low-level satellites that fly the equator to track global warming, climate change. It was so close that you felt like you could touch it. And so I finished and I took a picture. I hate high-definition cameras. So you've got an old guy who's been up all day, who should be in bed sleeping, and he's been up all night and then hiked 5 miles to the top of a mountain, and I took a picture of me by the sign that said I made it, and I don't look good. I can just tell you, I don't look good. I look like an old man who had just hiked 5 miles in the middle of the night. And now I'm going to go back down. Now we're on the easy. All the rock scrambles are done, and I'm on my way back down. And I know that there's a bear on this side of the mountain. And up on top it says, hey, bears are active in this area. Be careful. And I have seen this bear on the way down, I don't know, over the years, probably 5 or 6 times as he's been pretty active in that area. And I got down below where the bear should have been, and I was done. And so I stopped by the side of the trail, and I sat down on a rock. The trail's in front of me, there's woods on that side, there's woods behind me. And before I got started in the night, I thought, you know what, it's a clear night, the wind's not blowing, I'm going to keep my hearing aids in. And then I can hear the birds or something chirping, or I can hear the creek. And this is Bishop Boy says, oh, I can hear the water, isn't that? You take your hearing aids off, you don't hear a thing. But I could hear the water going by, and I could hear the sounds in the wooded area. And I got my backpack out, and I got my water out and took a drink, and I'm putting everything back together, and I zip it up, and then I heard a snap behind me. And I turned around, and about 10 feet behind me was this big black bear sneaking up on me. Now, I don't think he was stalking me, because black bears typically don't. I think he saw somebody there on the side and thought maybe he's got a candy bar that he can give me. And so he snapped a twig, and I went like this, and I saw him. And what did you do? That's what I did. And you know what he did? And he went running that way, and I went running this way, which is a good thing to do. What could possibly go wrong? Well, nothing could possibly go wrong. Right? Everything can possibly go wrong. But I'm here to tell you, God is on the throne. God is watching over you. You can be encouraged to know that God is watching. You need a preacher to come and pray for you? I'll do that. And I'll encourage you to be encouraged. But it'd be really good if not only you were encouraged, but if you became the encourager. I believe God. To wait on the Lord, to be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. You say this morning, Pastor, I'm a Christian, I know Christ, but I'm like David. I feel hunted. I feel distressed and discouraged. I'm going through a really tough time. Will you have a time of prayer for me this morning? Absolutely, I will. Pastor, pray for me. Going through a tough time, would you pray for me? Okay. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for your grace and your goodness, and I thank you for the vast plethora of reminders through your word to take courage, to be encouraged, to comfort one another. And I pray that these folks would be helped. They'd be encouraged, not just to hear it from the preacher, but to hear it from each other. And that folks in the room would be challenged to be an encourager. May we be a church that is known for being an encouraging church to others. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you're here and you're discouraged because you are without Christ and you need salvation. You need hope in Christ. Say, preacher, pray for me. I am not saved. And slip your hand up. Hold it up for just a moment. I'm not saved. I need to be saved. Preacher, would you pray for me? Let's stand to our feet with our eyes, heads bowed, our eyes closed. Brother Zachary is playing on the piano. The altar is open. You want to pray? You can. Want the preacher to pray for you? I'll absolutely do that.